Her full name was Maria Adela El. Oh my gosh.
It's like a, like, I feel like, no offense to these people, it's like gargling. It's like Maria Adela.
Well, with my accent too.
It's just like a, but it's like a lot of names and they all, these sounds.
Okay. Welcome to season 14 of She Builds Podcast, where we share stories about women in the design and construction field, one lady at a time.
This season's theme is Anything Goes, a combination of regular episodes and charrettes based on anything inspiring us at the moment.
Quick reminder, we are not experts on history. We are just sharing stories about the information that we find as friends having a fun conversation.
If you find an error, send us an email and we will all continue learning.
Today, we're learning about Adela Gargollo Freer, the owner of a construction company in Costa Rica. I'm Nergeri Rivas, feeling excited in Houston, Texas.
And I'm Jessica Rogers, feeling pumped, based out of Miami, Florida.
All right. Well, with that, let's begin. The time was February 10th, 1866. The place, probably Costa Rica, Adela Gargollo Freer was born.
Oh, we're going way back. Vamos a Costa Rica.
Sí. One source mentioned that she was Francisco Morazan's granddaughter, and I went way down a rabbit hole looking up who that was.
Of course. Now, what did you find?
Okay, here we go. Francisco was a military general who became a liberal Central American politician and who served as the head of state of Honduras and later as president of the Federal Republic of Central America from 1830 to 1839.
The what? Was there a Federal Republic of Central America?
Yep. After Mexico and most of Central America gained independence from Spain in 1821, the Central American countries were annexed by Mexico, and they were part of that for 2 years. Then in 1823, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala decided to band together and create their own federal government, modeled after the U.S. They were meant to have their own governments like the states do over here, you know, how each state has their own government. But then there's also the central government, which is the federal government for us. But for them, it would be like a central government of all of Central America and then the local government of each little country.
Then what happened? Why don't they have that today?
Well, much like today, there was a lot of drama between liberals and conservatives. The first president of the federal...
Yeah.
The first president of the Federal Republic of Central America was Manuel José Arce. Manuel José started out liberal, but turned out conservative. His strongest voice of opposition was Grandpa Francisco Morazan.
Oh, okay. So now he's back in the story.
Yes. He was like, dude, the people elected a liberal president and you flip-flopped. Not cool, man. Not cool.
1800s. Sounds like it's happening in 2026.
So, from the beginning, there was a lot going on. The Republic broke out into civil war with liberals led by Francisco, and they won. That's how Francisco became president in 1830, during which time he did a lot of things that seem good in my book. He fought for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of press, and pushed for separation of church and state by making marriage secular and getting rid of government tithing.
This all sounds lovely.
Is that how you pronounce the word tithing? I think it is.
I mean, your guess is good as mine. Tithing.
We need Lizzie to correct our pronunciation as necessary while we talk.
Baby, come back.
Ooh. Okay, back to our cliff notes on the Republic of Central America, because I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
Not done.
All right, let's keep going.
I told you, down the rabbit hole we go.
Yep, I'm riding along with you.
Thank you. So for better or for worse, depending on who you ask, the Republic was never quite able to get itself organized enough to thrive. They had a hard time collecting taxes for the central government. The conservative and the liberals never got along.
Mm.
And they fell into a second civil war, which brought an end to Francisco's 10-year presidency and to the republic itself. All the countries decided to break off and do their own thing, chicken wing, once and for all.
Oh, what a roller coaster.
Eventually, Francisco ended up in Costa Rica, where he was executed.
Oh, man. That took a turn.
Yeah. And there's a even longer story behind that. But we got to circle back to Adela. Like, I've taken us way down too much. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Let's crawl ourselves out of the hole.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So let's pretend I didn't say he was executed.
Okay.
In fact, yeah, let's rewind just enough.
He's alive.
Francisco's in Costa Rica.
Sorry.
He's alive. That's perfect.
Back from the dead. We are in Costa Rica, not the central, it's still Central America, but not in the Federal Republic of Central America.
Right, the whole Central Republic. Francisco, though married to the wealthy socialite Maria Francisca Úrsula Josefa Lastiri Lozano.
Okay.
With whom he had one daughter, though he was married to her.
Mm.
Dude still found time to mess around. In total, he had 6 kids, one of them adopted. He is thought to have today around 600 descendants, which sounds like a lot. But honestly, after a whole thing, I did a math and it makes sense. I mean, the dude started having offspring in 1838. So 200 years later, to have 600 descendants is kind of normal. As crazy as it sounds, you know?
Wow, and I thought my family was big. But if his immediate descendants took after him, it makes sense that they would just keep multiplying. And I've been to Costa Rica. In the mountains, it can get chilly, and there isn't TV. So folks had to find other ways to keep warm and entertained.
Thank you for putting that into perspective, Jessica.
Yep.
Francisco made sure to leave a mark in the world. In politics, military, family tree, you name it, he's doing it.
You bet.
Good thing is, the guy recognized his children outside of marriage. And I actually respect that, because it's not the kid's fault what the parents do. And in those times, if the guy didn't accept the kid, they grow up like on the margins of society, unfairly, you know.
Yeah, that is a good point. It's nice that they all got recognized, because that's usually not the case.
So that brings us to Teresa Escalante, a socialite in Costa Rica. She had a romance with Francisco, which resulted in Teresa getting pregnant. And before the fetus was born, Francisco was executed.
Oh, man. Before the baby is a baby, baby daddy is gone.
And dude can't recognize baby if he's dead.
Mm.
And honestly, it wasn't safe. With the political drama going on, Teresa had to be a little hush-hush.
Ugh. So what is she going to do?
She's going to fall in love and marry an English guy living in Costa Rica, Guillermo Freer. And he adopted Teresa's baby. So now Dolores Freer Escalante enters our story.
Oh, okay. So I recognize the last name, Freer. So I'm assuming we're getting closer to Adela?
Yes, we are. Later in life, Dolores learned who her real father was, so she knows her heritage. But they had to keep it hush-hush, like I said, because there was still political bad blood against Francisco Morazan. And also, like, she grew up with Guillermo Freer as her dad, so she kept her Freer name.
Yeah, it seems like the safe thing to do.
Yeah. In 1959, Dolores, a.k.a. Lola, married the Spanish citizen Luis Vicente José Gargollo. And together, these two had 9 kiddos. Elena Rosa de las Mercedes, Eduviges, Teresa, María Luisa, María Adela, Eulalia, Luciano Luis José María, Guillermo Juan de Jesús, Ricardo María de los Dolores, Manuel Antonio Francisco, and José Aurelio de los Dolores.
OMG. That was a lot of kids with a lot of names.
They were.
But I did hear our girl Adela in there, in one of them names, in one of those people.
You sure did. Her full name was María Adela Eulalia Gargollo Freer. But people know her as Adela or Adelita or itilla.
Okay, cute. Only about like 12 minutes or so in, and we have our little Adelita.
Yeah, actually, that took a less time than I thought it would.
I thought it was going to take longer. That's I was like, this is because, I mean, you said rabbit hole, and I was like, oh, here we go.
It's true. It's true. I kept it all right.
Pretty concise. Yeah.
I also like that girls got 5 names, so she needs to have 3 nicknames.
Because 1 nickname wasn't enough.
No.
Out of her 5 names in her regular name.
So I gave you that long family history, not only because I found it super interesting, but because that's all the backstory I have for you. I did not find any information about Adela's childhood or education. I just know that she was born February 10th, 1866. And when she was 20, barely entering adulthood, on July 5th, 1886, she married General Lesmes Jimenez Bonifil.
I don't know if we planned this, but happy birthday, Adela, because today is her birthday, the day this episode comes out.
Oh, how wonderful.
we so totally planned this.
100%. It's not like I finally found her birthday yesterday, because for the longest time, I've been researching this lady for 2 months and I could not find her freaking birth date. I only had a year. And then yesterday I've stumbled upon the right website.
Look at that. And you know what? For that reason alone, I will allow this like non-story of her life, like her education background, because you gave the history of Costa Rica and Central America. And, you know, what we do know is that she was born today.
Right.
So there's that. And that she grew up in a large family. And that's enough for me.
Yeah. I found a lot of info on Lesmes, though.
Oh.
Which kind of annoyed me. Like, when you find a lot of info on the husband and not the wife.
Yeah, like, what's that about?
Anyway, but I've digressed enough today. I'm not going to take you on a 12-minute journey of Lesmes' life. Forget that. So I'll just say, dude came from a wealthy family as well.
Okay.
They gave him a very good education. He was one of the first, if not the very first, Costa Rican civil engineer / architect. He got his degree in Belgium. He moved back to Costa Rica and became director of public works. Got called to military conflicts twice in his life. Once, actually, with Honduras, and another time with Nicaragua. And he survived both events. I think he actually never had to go to war. Like, things got resolved before anything escalated too much. Mm-hmm. But not going too deep into this. Look it up if you want to, guys. Mm-hmm. He married Adela in 1886. And then he went on to have a prolific career as an architect, designed many buildings and churches. And in 1906, now we're in the 1900s, or 1907, depending on the resource, Lesmes and Adela, along with Jose Maria Castillo, a Colombian businessman, opened La Factoría de Mosaico, a small factory producing mosaic bricks and cement-based products. The first of its kind in Costa Rica.
This is great. We have a couple partnership.
We do. And they not only gave life to a company together, they also made 9 humans together.
Super cute. And you see, that's how you have 600 descendants. This family tree is more like the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah, every one of them is having more than 5 kids.
Yeah, jeez.
Well, one of the children that Adela had sadly passed away the year they were born. So she raised 8 children. Their first child was a daughter born in 1888, Maria de la Trinidad Jimenez Gargollo. And then their youngest was Oscar Santiago Martín de Jesús Jimenez Gargollo, born in 1901.
What is up with the long names in this episode? Are you enjoying saying them? I feel like you do.
Oh, yeah. I think if your parents name you something, you should be called that. Names shouldn't be for decoration.
Well, I mean, after like name number 3, like before the last name, I feel like it's decoration. It's like how many names you can collect. I mean, there's a reason why they didn't have credit cards, because they could have fit that in their credit card.
Yeah, maybe. Unfortunately, tragedy would strike in 1906 or 1907, depending on the resource, when her husband died. At this time, Adela had it really rough. Raising kids, now without a dad, and a company that had just started and was in major debt. Again, they had just started. Like, every company starts out in debt, and then the dude passes away? Like, this is just terrible.
Oh, man, that is tough. So many kids to take care of, and a company on top of all that. Plus, the company isn't doing so well, and, you know, dealing with the grief through it all. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. She not only became the general manager of the company all on her own, she also jumped in wherever she was needed. She foresaw the factory's employees getting trained. She got involved in production. She was not above watering the concrete blocks and counting the barrels of cement. She dealt with contracts, suppliers, clients, projects, and everything in between. She was doing all the things.
All the things. She was a true leader, it sounds like.
It does. And the company thrived. They got out of debt and grew. They grew into a lot more than producing mosaic bricks. They were into full-on building construction. For more than 40 years, it was Costa Rica's leading construction firm. Can you imagine?
OMG. That's amazing longevity in a company. And it's such a great thing to see. It's awesome to know that Adela was behind it, especially considering where the company was before that. Like, that's a lot.
With that expansion came a rebranding. The company became Adela Viuda de Jimenez e Hijos. In English, that would be Adela, Widow of Jimenez and Children.
That's right. We love, we love, we love.
Let's talk about notable projects. But before then, let's pause to hear a little bit from our sponsors.
Hey, designers and curious minds. Ever wondered about the stories hiding within your building's walls? I'm Carrie Seaburn, structural engineer and host of Unstruct, the podcast that decodes and simplifies major concepts of structural design. Behind the math and physics, structural engineering simply predicts building behavior. Join me as we simplify the complex, making structural design accessible to everyone.
Nowadays, instead of measuring it via cost, we're saying, well, what about carbon, you know? We've got two levers now that we can, if an architect has an inefficient design, we can hit them with two levers, if you like.
The official casualty figure is 55,000. Everybody I talked to told me that the actual figure is at least three times as much. And I believe that. I mean, seeing what I saw, Turkish codes are good and they have been improving, but compliance was completely lacking.
Fluent in steel, concrete, masonry, and timber design, I'll bring you leading engineers to dissect the tales behind their building structure. Whether you're an architect, contractor, engineer, or just love a good story, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, beam penetrations. That's a fun topic on this project.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Unstruct. From within your walls, hear the story behind how your building stands today.
And we're back. Okay, let's talk projects. While she had a varied portfolio, I'm going to focus on religious and civic projects because these are the most documented.
Let's do it.
In the religious sector, we got the Church of La Merced. One of the sources mentioned this was one designed by her husband, and the Basilica of Santo Domingo de Guzmán in Heredia, which underwent a renovation in 2021. Both of these still stand, and I should be placing pictures on the show notes, so check it out.
Excited to see those, and would love to do another arc venture to see them IRL. In real life.
Oh, in real life? Well, I've never heard anyone say IRL.
Really?
Yeah, people say it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to civic projects.
Okay.
We can thank her for paving San Jose's main streets and building one of the first paved roads to Heredia, which is a city near San Jose in Costa Rica. It's actually the old capital. Today, San Jose is the capital, but apparently Heredia was the capital before San Jose. Just a fun fact.
Gotcha. Ooh, very cool.
We also have Cabo Blanco Lighthouse on the Nicoya Peninsula.
Ooh, okay. Fun fact. Cabo Blanco was the first area in Costa Rica to be declared a national nature reserve. No tourism was allowed in the Cabo Blanco Absolute Reserve from the 1960s through the late 1980s due to the deforestation the reserve suffered before it was declared protected. To this day, much of the park remains accessible only to scientists, state workers, or those with special clearance. Though, in some parts, we're allowed to go hiking, swimming, and wildlife watching. So, we should also add this to our adventures, but, you know.
Can we hike?
It depends on kind of, the hiking was rough last time I went. But, you know, like, the idea's there.
Okay.
You know, if we put a guidebook, we can tell people to do it, but I don't know if I'll do it. But, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, remember when you and Lissy went, what's that thing you
zip lining, and there was hiking in between. That's why I remember. I don't want to do that again.
But I didn't go zip lining.
Yeah.
Lissy and I can go hiking and you can stay
and
watching
read.
The beach. Yeah.
I will admit it was great. It was a beautiful experience. But
one you don't have to do again.
Yeah. The Costa Rican forest and nature reserves are beautiful.
They really are.
I can imagine Cabo Blanco being just as beautiful. And that now that it's protected, forget about it. It's going to be nice.
Okay, we'll check it out.
Yeah.
Let's also add the Capitolio Theater and the Adela Theater to our art ventures. The Capitolio Theater, or Cine Capitolio, was built in 1930. And it actually started out as a market, but went bankrupt. And the new owner turned it into a movie theater in 1937. Sadly, it was demolished in 1986. And today, the land where it once stood is part of the Hospital Biblico.
Ugh, sad to see it go. But happy that they're using the land for something useful. I also like that Adela has a theater named after her, too.
She did. Well, she built her own theater.
I mean, nice.
Yeah. The last but not least important project of hers I'll mention today is the original Estadio Nacional, the National Stadium in La Sabana, San Jose. This was a very important project for many reasons. Politically, it was where the transfer of presidential power took place from the time that it was built until 2006. In the sports world, it was the location that the National Football or Soccer League played. And let me tell you, the National League, or La CL, as my Costa Rican friends would say, is a great source of national pride. Well, it depends. Depends on how they're doing. But
when they're good, everybody's rooting for them. Hey, I'm from Miami. We are.
You get it.
We're called the bandwagon team or city for that reason. We've become super fans when we're winning.
To me, you've always been a fan of the Heat. So in my head, Miami was like,
I don't like that, but I really like them when we're winning. And I'm you could say that for all the Miami teams, okay?
Okay.
Did you know that I was a hockey fan? But it's because Florida Panthers have been winning for the championship for the past 2-3 years. So
I didn't even know you had hockey.
We do.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so now you're a super fan of hockey.
Oh, yeah. I don't know any of the players' names, nor can I pronounce them. But, you know, I have a Panther shirt.
Nice. That's all you need.
That's all I need.
That's all you need. Okay. On a cultural note, many concerts and gatherings were held at the Estadio Nacional. Mm-hmm. The stadium hosted Pope John II, Pavarotti, Aerosmith. That's cool.
Wow. That is real cool. Okay, so aside from like ecotourism, that's very big now in Costa Rica, this stadium, you could say, played a key role for other tourists and locals, of course. It's basically like an icon for the city. So that's pretty cool.
The stadium was completed on December 29, 1924. Throughout the years, it went through two major renovations and expansions. And then in 2008, it was demolished to build a brand new one, which is what we would see if we go to the site today. The one that we see today was built by a Chinese company, not Adela's.
OMG, roller coaster of emotions.
Due to her tireless work and dedication, Adela became known among Costa Ricans as the Queen of Labor. Can you imagine a woman in the 1920s in the construction field to be called the Queen of Labor?
That's crazy.
I think that speaks to the level of admiration and respect people had for her.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think it's a testament to her work ethic. Folks saw this and recognized it. And on top of all this, she had 8 kids.
In 1926, she was invited to attend an international construction fair in Italy. There, she was awarded the gold medal in honor of all her achievements throughout her career. One of my research materials mentioned that people back home felt this award was not only for her, but for Costa Rica. They felt such national pride for her and with her. It's lovely.
That's right. As they should feel pride. See, that bandwagon, you know, doesn't apply just to teams. I mean, it applies to people.
If people are doing well.
We're all doing well. Yeah.
Believe it or not, Adela had endeavors outside of her construction company.
Oh, you know, little hobbies in case she got bored. You know, that's very common with our ladies. They're resilient and they always stay busy.
She bought a plane.
Okay, money.
And she hired pilots to deliver mail within Central America because she wanted to enhance communication between the countries of Central America. And like we talked about, she also built a theater, the Adela Theater, offering recreational performances to theater enthusiasts. I think it was free to the public, but I'm not sure.
Either way, that's awesome. I would really like to find another word besides awesome, because I feel like I've said it a lot throughout this episode. But I love how she wanted to help with communication. And either way, if it was free or not, I do like this theater idea, you know, bringing culture to the masses, you know?
Yeah. Can you imagine this lady with all her grit, determination, go-getter attitude, being an activist?
First of all, knowing that you picked her out makes sense. It aligns with just who you are. No, Judy. But it's actually literally like in her lineage. Like she's a descendant of activists and politicians and whatnot.
True. She co-founded a group named Lucha Contra el Cáncer, the fight against cancer in Costa Rica.
That's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Throughout her lifetime, she grew to have so much influence. Even politicians came to her. She frequently hosted gatherings at her home to discuss political futures, such as who would be presidential candidates, political platforms as they affected economics and culture. You know, normal topics that we all have when we invite our friends over.
Okay, she like kind of like Oprah, because Oprah does that. But, I mean, this woman, she was shaking and baking and doing all the things.
I searched but could not find if she supported a particular party. But politics ran in her blood, like you were saying, Jessica. So this doesn't surprise me that she's doing all these things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That lineage is strong and ever present.
Well, she passed away on September 21st, 1947, in San Jose, Costa Rica.
Okay, so we all know that one of the parameters of our show is that we only tell stories of women that have passed away. But every time, it's still a little sad. Like, you just want them to live forever because of their impact, their passion, and their influence.
I know exactly what you mean. The writer Marco Retana, in a report published in the newspaper La Repubblica on March 20th, 1981, stated that man has gone on leaving his mark is not abnormal, but obligatory. That a woman in a world of prejudice, in a society that believes in gynecisms, dares to break the molds and breaks them and fights and leaves a mark difficult for any man to surpass is worthy of respect, emulation, and above all, admiration.
And that's our Adelita.
All right. Now we have reached the second part of our episode, the caryatid. A caryatid is a stone carving of a woman used as a column or a pillar to support the structure of a Greek or Greek-style building. In each episode, we choose a caryatid, a woman who is working today, furthering the profession through their work, and who ties into the historical woman of our episode. Drum roll, please. Viviana, joke! Viviana. Viviana is a listener suggestion. Thank you, Juliana R., for bringing to our attention this superstar we're about to share right now.
You know we love a listener suggestion. Also, shout out to Juliana, friend to the show. Hey, girl, hey. Thank you for the suggestion.
Gracias. Just like Adela, Viviana is a Costa Rican entrepreneur. And just like Adela, she can't do just one thing. She owns and runs 4 companies.
Oh my God.
Jessica, help me count.
4 companies. Okay, give me one.
An architecture and interior design firm called A3 Arquitectos since 2009.
Okay, that's one.
A construction firm specializing in remodels, Edison, since 2011.
Okay, that's 2.
Furniture design and fabrication company, We Furniture Design.
Okay, now that's 3.
And a jewelry and accessories shop where all pieces are curated and designed by Latin American designers, Única Diseño Latam, since 2023.
And that's 4. And also, that's really cool.
Yeah, every single one of these.
Yeah.
I do like the last one.
Yeah, I like the last one. The last one's pretty cool.
Yeah. Viviana is an architect by education. Her alma mater is Instituto Tecnológico de Costa Rica, which is a very good architecture school in Costa Rica. She's very hands-on, being involved in all aspects of project delivery, and she strives to be a well-rounded leader.
She sounds like our Adela.
I agree. And I think just like Adela, Viviana's work trajectory can serve as a great mentorship to anyone interested in the construction field.
Hear, hear.
Before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links to all of our resources on this episode, as well as pictures of projects we've talked about.
We hope you enjoyed learning about today's lady and caryatid along with our banter, and that you are inspired to find out more about them and other amazing professional ladies.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, colleagues, sisters, and brothers, and tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify, and write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website, shebuildspodcast.com/donate. Or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all of these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at GableMedia.com. That's GableMedia.com.
We're excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at SheBuildsPodcast@gmail.com, leave a comment on our website at SheBuildsPodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at SheBuildsPodcast and on X at SheBuildsPod. Until then, see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
In a society that believes in gynoceums.
Damn it, Lizzie, where are you? Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, what the is this word?
Oh, well. But just you try your best, girl.